night because of political pressure, because of the worry about waiting a week, maybe somebody else would tell the story. He jumped ahead. It was re-election. I guess any president would do that. But he did jump ahead. And
five
he left
seconds.
Pasha and Kiana. He left our two generals, the two generals in charge of the bombs, hanging. Not a good thing to do.
Seymour Hersh, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll continue this conversation posted online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
KBOO would like to thank our community members that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Dambayan, located on 6014 Southeast Foster Road, serving traditional Filipino lunch and dinner Wednesdays through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, a Mexican restaurant at 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue, open Monday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to midnight or later. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, a Southeast Portland cafe open 7 days a week at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue.
KBOO Community Radio, along with Street Roots Newspaper, is proud to co-sponsor Amy Goodman's Portland appearance Sunday, May 8th, at the Aladdin Theater. She'll be talking about Democracy Now! 20 years covering the movements changing America. Her new book, co-authored by David Goodman and Dennis Moynihan. And Amy will be doing a book signing after the talk. All proceeds go to benefit KBOO and Street Roots Newspaper. Again, that's Amy Goodman on Sunday, May 8th at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/democracynowbenefit. Democracy is coming to
the USA. The time is 5:01 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is the KBOO Evening News. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the League of Women Voters of Portland, presenting forums for the Multnomah County Commissioners candidates and Metro Council candidates on Wednesday, April 27th, 6 p.m. at Metro East Studio, 829 Northeast 8th Street, Gresham. More voter information at lwvpdx.org.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. A new federal study says air quality is terrible all across the U.S.
Recent testing in the waters near the crippled Fukushima nuclear power plant has revealed radiation levels as high, and in many places higher, than previous measurements.
And Washington State safety regulators have fined the Instafab steel fabrication company more than $30,000 for 10 separate safety violations that were labeled as serious.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, April 25th, 2016. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Rosalind Scott.
And I'm Ken Jones. Tomorrow at midnight is the deadline for Oregon residents to register to vote for the May primary. Oregon conducts what's called a closed primary, which means people can only vote in the primary for the party for which they're currently registered. If you're registered as an independent, you cannot vote in either the Republican or Democratic primary. Even if you are registered, you're encouraged to check the status of your registration to make sure you're eligible to vote in the primary of your choice. You can check your registration status, change your party affiliation, or register anew by going to sos.oregon.gov, then clicking the Voting and Elections link. Once again, that's sos.oregon.gov. to register or verify your registration. The deadline's tomorrow, Tuesday, April 26th at midnight.
Intel Corporation announced today that it is closing its facility in DuPont, Washington. 350 employees will be affected. Layoffs reportedly began this morning. The company has not yet revealed its timeline for the closures. Prior to the DuPont showdown, Intel had 1,000 employees in Washington state. Last week, Intel announced that it plans to lay off more than 12,000 employees around the world over the next year. Intel is Oregon's largest private employer, with more than 19,000 people employed at five locations in Washington County. Intel has not released any information about planned job cuts in Oregon.
Washington state safety regulators have fined the Instafab steel fabrication company more than $30,000 for 10 separate safety violations that were categorized as serious. Categorizing the violations as serious means the state determined the violations had the probability of causing serious injury, illness, or death to employees of the company. The violations included hazardous chemical storage and safety violations, management of open flames violations, and other worker safety violations. Instafab is a private, non-union steel fabrication and installation company based in Vancouver, Washington. The company employs 75 people in the Portland-Vancouver metro area. Over the last year, at least 12 employees have walked out, declaring they were on strike. The employees have picketed the company and filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board. The employees claim the company provides inadequate safety and job training and pays below market wages and benefits. The NLRB has already ruled that some of the employees were illegally fired after declaring they were on strike. This May, the board is set to determine the amount of back wages owed to the striking workers. Instafab did not appeal the fines and has stated all violations have already been corrected. After tonight's newscast, stay tuned for Labor Radio as host Jamie Partridge interviews several of the striking workers in the run-up to the Jobs with Justice Workers' Rights Board hearing on Thursday, April 28th.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Doug and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hey, thanks, Rosalyn and Ken. Yes, this is the serious news. This is on-the-ground news from all over the world, but mainly from your community. And it is done by volunteers. They go out in the field with their audio, bring it back, bring it to you, and they do it because you call in and become a member, become an active member, contribute to KBOO. And the number for that is 877-500-KBOO.
Indeed, and we want to thank Elise from Southeast Portland, who's a new member. Get the bell. And all she had to do was dial 877-500-5266. You know, so much great programming here on the news, and so much great stuff. We have the story about Instafab, and then we're going to have interview with some of the striking workers coming up in just a little while. I mean, all this news coming to you every day, the volunteer staff, and it's only made possible because of you. Your donations, your financial support of this station makes all that happen. And
we are delighted to mention, by the way, that our goal for Democracy Now! Was blown away. Lots of people calling in wanting tickets to go see Amy Goodman at the Aladdin on May 8th, and there's still those available. We still have tickets available. If you want to become a member at the $20 a month level and get a couple of tickets to go and see, you can get one ticket at a time for $30. It's actually $240. It's a $30 value, but it's a $20 a month membership, and we really value those memberships. The number is toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. If you want to go a little lower, KBOO versus the Mediazillas. It's a T-shirt made by Matt Worker, formerly Portland cartoonist who now works out of Washington, D.C., but it's a fabulous full-color T-shirt, and for only $5 a month, it can be yours. So the number is 877-500-KBOO.
And don't forget, if you're online, if you want to do it that way, we're on the web at kboo.fm. There's a button right there on the newly designed website, and what a great site that is. Just click on there and enter your info, and you can become a member. You can do that anytime, but do it now during the pledge drive, and we'll send you a nice thank you gift. Again, those tickets to the Amy Goodman appearance on May 8th, that's a heck of a bargain, and you're supporting all the great programming here at KBOO. We have some great people, we do some real fun stuff, and, you know, the news and public affairs producers here at KBOO are years ahead of the mainstream media, covering major stories like food safety and agriculture, the environment, climate change, police brutality, the drug war, my own beat, for instance. All this stuff, and all it takes is picking up that phone, 877-500-5266.
No.
What was that, Ann?
And we'll be right back.
AU110. That's the number stamped on the first license plate the state of Nevada has issued for an autonomous vehicle, which is a car or truck that drives itself. Issued to a Daimler commercial truck Tuesday, it may well be the very first such license granted in the U.S. and possibly the world. Daimler Trucks of North America has its headquarters in Portland.
The family of slain 12-year-old Tamir Rice is being given a settlement of $6 million from the city of Cleveland. Tamir was shot and killed by officers in November of 2014 while playing with an air rifle outside of Recreation Center near the boy's home. The wrongful death suit filed by his family claimed that the police acted recklessly and did not provide adequate care for the boy after he was shot. This comes after a grand jury refused to indict the officer, Timothy Lehman, involved in the shooting. This afternoon, officials of the Cleveland Police Union called on the family to give the settlement money to a gun safety education charity.
The Black Lives Matter movement was created to call out the disproportionality of state violence against African descendants in the U.S. For many white people, the response is, "I never enslaved anybody." That's what makes visual artist Ann Maver's work so remarkable. Her ongoing project, I Am My White Ancestors, is meant to explore that painful connection between white people today and exactly what their ancestors did. Ann, thanks for coming into KBOO tonight.
Yes, thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, can you, let's start off a little description of the project itself, I Am My White Ancestors.
Right. So the subtitle of that is Self-Portraits Through Time. So it's a series of 12 self-portraits of me adopting the characters of my ancestors. It's six men and six women.
And the medium is, those are self-portraits, photographs?
It's photographs, me dressed up with backdrops, and they are printed out life-size on fabric panels. And they also have audio diaries of each character talking about their lives.
Oh, so tell us how you put that together. If you're doing photographic self-portraits, you must have researched the period in addition to the ancestor.
Yeah, absolutely. Had to do a lot of...
Costuming, hairstyle.
Absolutely. As I'd like to say, this project brings together everything I know. Like research skills, painting skills, costuming skills, performance skills, perseverance skills. I've been working on it for 2.5 years.
Oh, my. And how'd you get started on this? Actually researching your ancestors on a website, Ancestry.com?
Well, I did find them there. I was able to go back to the 800s, actually.
The 800s?
Right.
And where was that? What region?
It was the Viking era.
Oh, my.
So I found a woman who was born in Norway and helped to invade and colonize the Orkney Islands. So I told her story, too. The stories are a combination of my imagination and fact.
Now, obviously, you have more than 12 ancestors.
Right.
Probably hundreds, if not thousands.
Right. Thousands.
thousands and thousands. How did you pick these particular 12? And let me just ask, too, it extends back to the 800s.
Right. But actually, I picked even further back. I wanted to get a Celtic character. So I went back to 300 BCE.
And where is that? Stonehenge area?
Well, it's actually in the Alps, which is where the Celtic culture came from.
And that's a fictional ancestor?
Right, but I did have ancestors who came from that area. So it was true, but not specifically true, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And how did you feel the first time you learned that the name of one of your ancestors was someone that had enslaved people?
Well, I found out through looking at stories that my grandmother had taped. And I was relieved, since it helped me to understand my family better, and helped me because her family came from South Carolina, and it just made everything make sense all of a sudden, like of course, but they didn't talk about it at all.
So you had to specifically ask your grandmother about this?
Well, she talked about the plantations. She didn't really talk about enslavement. I was actually able to find documentation on Ancestry.com through the census. It's all there, like how many slaves so-and-so had and how many white people were living there at a particular time. So it's all there. It's not hard to find.
Well, let's talk about that particular ancestor. What was the relationship to your grandmother, her parents, her grandparents?
Well, the first character who's in the project is Eugenia Buchanan, and she lived during the Civil War, and she was my great-great grandmother, and so her father was a slaveholder too,
On a plantation in South Carolina.
Yes, he had several of them,
and that was pre-Civil War.
Yes, it was. And his cousins actually went to Texas in order to escape the war. They thought, and they also hoped that Texas would remain a slave state, which it did not.
Now that's it's not surprising, I guess, that you know, several of us, not hundreds and thousands of white people, have ancestors who were slaveholders. But how did it personally make you feel to be related to a family like that, that?
Like I said, it helped me to understand myself more and where I got my attitudes and my beliefs. I really was able to identify certain patterns like endurance and separation and harshness and cruelty and I can't remember another one, but
you found these in yourself,
right? Absolutely.
And you'd figured maybe that's a genetic gift from
well, these. I don't know genetic, but certainly socialization and passing down the beliefs and the experiences and teaching your children.
So you felt a definite connection to the people.
Well, it was not attractive, you know.
That's what I'm trying to get at. It
right.
As I mentioned in the intro, you know, a lot of white people today will say, well, why are we still apologizing? Why are African Americans asking for reparations? It were white people hundreds of years ago. It wasn't me.
Right.
Do you feel that sense of separation then? Obviously not.
No, absolutely. Whatever I have now is because I'm white. So I benefit and my family benefited. And I want to understand it. I would like to take responsibility for it, and I would like to change it. And it's a powerful thing to get to share what your racist thoughts are to other white people, and have them listen, and so that we don't have to hide it anymore and pretend that we don't have them, because we all have them. We grew up with it. It's in the air. We breathe.
And that's really the way you're communicating that is through this art project.
Right.
Have you gotten any reactions yet from people who what they say when they learn about the slaveholding.
They're excited to hear about it, mostly. I was expecting and kind of hoping to have a backlash or a challenged or something like that.
But I would expect that too.
That has not happened yet. Well, when it goes up at Clackamas Community College this October, I hope that I get to have all kinds of responses and all kinds of conversations.
Oh, I want to ask too, in addition to the project, you wrote an essay, which is in an anthology that's will be published soon. What does it mean to be white in America, breaking the white code of silence? What exactly is that white code of silence? Is that what you were getting at?
Yes.
Here with your grandmother's refusal to talk about this?
Mm-hmm. And, yes, absolutely. We don't get to talk about it. We don't get to, we can walk through the world blind and oblivious. We are able to do that, but that actually harms us. The silence actually harms us, and we're walking around the separated from all kinds of people as a result of this racist attitudes that we have. And I would like to say also that I don't like calling anybody racist. I like to say racist beliefs or racist patterns that we carry, but who are not who we are, we can get rid of them.
Do you feel that the code of silence was maybe a way that they were saying that they were ashamed of this or they knew it was wrong?
Right, exactly. We don't want to feel bad. We don't, and we're really working hard to try not to feel any of that, to feel the responsibility or even the knowledge that it has gone on or any of that. And we do feel bad, but we can't let that stop us.
What do you see as a more constructive way of reacting to your art project and the book itself?
Well, I would like people's honest response and honest feelings about what they're like, what their families taught them.
So rather than hide it or not talk about it, as mm-hmm. your grandmother didn't talk about her ancestors, her family going back 100 years or so.
Yeah. And talk about it. Absolutely. You know, this is what I learned. This is what I did. You know, I made a mistake. I was racist. And I lost my track of thought there.
Oh, no problem. I was going to ask, what's next for you after this particular art
project?
Well,
next is it's going up at Clackamas Community College in October, and then I hope it will travel to different cities around the country and maybe the world. And because I would like to share it and have open conversations about this with all kinds of people.
Oh, well, Anne, well, thanks very much for joining us in the studio. If you'd like to find out more about Anne's work and this particular art project, she has a website, annemaver.com. That's A-N-N-E-M-A-V, as in Vincent, O-R.com, annemaver.com. And again, Anne, thanks for joining us at KBOO.
Okay, you're welcome.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Doug and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you, Rose Lynn. Thank you, Ken. Man, do our volunteers work hard. Rose Lynn cooks up a storm when she brings stuff in. Ken just does amazing interviews. I have to tell you, you can support these incredible volunteer efforts by going online at kboo.fm or by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO, like Karen did. Karen in Southeast Portland, thank you so much, Karen, for becoming a member. We have about $180 to go during the news, and we know that you can do it. You can call in and support these amazing, this information that you get. I mean, Ken was just talking with Ann Maver, who's got a project that's going to go up at Clackamas Community College, an art project. You know, if I go on to the TV and I watch somebody, one of those makeup infested persons talking to an author or an artist, I think, did this person actually find out about the exhibit or read the book? You know, but here at KBOO, you know, people like Ken Jones actually read the book, actually find out about the work, actually bring you news about your community and make it, you know, fascinating and make you want to go out and be a part of it. So the way to become a part of it is, Doug's going to tell you right now.
Yeah, just pick up your phone and punch in the digits, 877-500-5266. Remember those digits. It's 877-500-5266. Or on the web, just go to kboo.fm and click on the button to donate now. You know, we have about 55,000 listeners out there, but only about 5,000 people are members. You know which one you are. So pick up that phone now. You are why we're here. It's a great time to become a KBOO member. And you know, you can help us get way past our goal if you just, for instance, picked up that pair of tickets to Amy Goodman at the Aladdin Theater on May 8th. $20 a month is all it costs. You're supporting all this great programming, the news, the public affairs, the music, the community. My gosh, what more could you ask for? And you know, you get all that all over the airwaves, all over the internet. $20 a month even gets you a pair of tickets to see Amy Goodman live on May 8th. And all you got to do is call 877-500-5266. Right, Conch?
Yes, and if you are having issues with these chilly nights that we're having, you know, these are chilly spring nights, it's perfect for wearing a hoodie, a KBOO hoodie that is black and white and red all over. Mostly black, but it's got the fabulous KBOO Tower of Power logo on it, and you will be the envy of the neighborhood with your hoodie at a $20 a month contribution by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO or going online at kboo.fm, because when you click the Donate Now button, you can, that is one of the options to get a hoodie for a $20 a month contribution. If that's a little too rich for your tastes, get yourself a t-shirt. The summer's coming up, and the full-color matte worker KBOO versus the Mediazilla's t-shirt is available for only a $5 a month contribution. That will be something fabulous to wear around town while you are listening to KBOO, while you are going to so many of the cultural events, so many of the community-based events that KBOO lets you talk about. When you become a member, you just find out more about the place that you live.
I'm telling you, can you put a value on the time you spend enjoying KBOO? We really hope so. I mean, we can't, but think about all the pleasure you get from listening to, well, Democracy Now! Or The Grateful Dead Hour. I mean, really, a wide range of music and public affairs. We'll have Labor Radio coming up in just a little bit. Prison Pipeline. Now that is a terrific show. All of this tremendous programming, the news, the public affairs, the music, the community. And thank you for being the supporter that makes it all possible. That book by Amy Goodman, $75 minimum pledge, you know that works out to just $6.25 a month. For only $6.25, you get a copy of this book by Amy Goodman, 20 years covering the Democracy Now!, 20 years covering the movements changing America. Pick up that book, take it over to that event on May 8th, get her to sign it. Hey, now that is what I call a deal. And again, all you got to do is dial that number, 877-500-5266.
Are you out and about today? Are you coming home from work? Are you going to work? Are you out on your bike? Are you on the transit? If you're anywhere near the east end of the Burnside Bridge, well, maybe you'd like to stop in and make a contribution in person at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're just shy of Burnside, just a little bit south of Burnside and 8th Avenue. You can have a little bit of pastry. You can have a cup of coffee. You can talk to some of our volunteers, and you can look through the box that's got all the thank you gifts, some of which we're telling you about, but there are so many, and they are all wonderful. We have tickets. We have t-shirts, we have tapes, we have CDs, we have books. It's amazing. 20 Southeast 8th is the place to be. Or go to kboo.fm on the web. Upper right-hand corner is where you can see that Donate Now button. And just go through all the little pages that'll get you where you want to go and give you the kind of contribution you want to give, whether it's a credit card, a debit card, a check, or a monthly deduction from checking. But the way that you can get all the best information is by calling one of our happy volunteers here, toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. Right. Hey, now let's go back and hear what Ken and Rose Lynn have to say.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. Stay tuned for Labor Radio at 6. Host Jamie Partridge interviews several of the striking workers at the Instafab company in the run-up to the Jobs with Justice Workers' Right Board hearing being held on April 28th. That's followed by Prison Pipeline at 6:30. Adam Carpinelli interviews attorney Jay Lieberman. Lieberman discusses the legal implications and political dimensions of imprisonment of people with new sentences setting precedent for many immoral prison sentences. This interview also discusses the KBOO co-sponsored film screening and fundraiser about the history of Anonymous later this week. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight's weather, patchy fog after 2 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 43. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 11 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 60. Today in history, in 1915, Allied forces began a large-scale land invasion of the Gallipoli Peninsula in Turkey, resulting in one of the worst military disasters in the First World War. In 1945, the San Francisco Conference, an international meeting attended by delegates from 46 nations that established the U.S. United Nations, began. The quote of the day is from U Thant, the third Secretary General of the United Nations, who said, "To be egoistic is to be blind to the needs and the reality of others. In addition, egoism is bad for oneself because it does not exist for long by itself. It becomes, in course of time, the parent of the twin sins of pride and prestige. If there's one lesson that history teaches us, it is that wealth and power, pride and prestige, are not only transitory, but even illusory."
Schools, bathrooms, and transgender students. This is the Civil Liberties Minute by the ACLU of Massachusetts.
The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, has just ruled in favor of a transgender student, born female, who wishes to use the boys' bathroom in his high school.
I'm children's book author Jane Yolen, and this is the Civil Liberties Minute with ACLU attorney Bill Newman.
In this case brought by the ACLU on behalf of Gavin Grimm, a junior at Gloucester High School in southeastern Virginia, the appellate court ruled that Title IX, that's the federal law that prohibits gender discrimination in schools, includes protection for students to use the bathroom that corresponds with their gender identity. This is an important ruling. The Fourth Circuit has jurisdiction over Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Maryland. And the case holds in no uncertain terms that the Title IX regulations require this outcome. The case now will be sent back from the appeals court to the federal district court to decide whether a preliminary injunction should issue that would turn the ruling into reality. The district court judge is the same judge who ruled against Gavin in the first place. In response to the decision, the superintendent of school said, "No comment." But Gavin said, "I feel relieved and vindicated by the court's ruling. Today's decision gives me hope that my fight will help other kids avoid discriminatory treatment at school."
The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the ACLU because our children's freedom can't protect itself.
The American Lung Association released its 17th State of the Air report Wednesday. It found that, overall, national air quality is improving. However, many of the country's largest and most polluted cities had their worst air quality years on record. The report findings, compiled from EPA-required public data, suggest that laws and policies like the Clean Air Act are responsible for the overall drop in pollution. Yet in recent months, members of Congress, state lawmakers, and electoral candidates have launched attacks on air quality protecting policies. Hannah Lee Myers with Free Speech Radio News spoke with the American Lung Association about the report and visited a one-of-a-kind school in Denver for students who face life-threatening illness if air quality protection regresses.
air quality alert is in effect.
In most U.S. counties, the National Weather Service issued fewer of these poor air quality alerts in 2015 than it had for the last few years. Paul Billings is National Senior Vice President of the American Lung Association and has monitored air quality for the organization for 25 years. He says overall, he's encouraged by this year's data.
The American Lung Association's State of the Air report found continued improvement in air quality from 2012 to 2014 in communities across the country, especially with lower levels of year-round particle pollution and ozone. But even with that continued improvement, we still see far too many people living in areas where the air is unhealthy to breathe. The report found that 52% of the people in the United States live in counties that have unhealthful levels of either ozone or particle pollution. More than 166 million Americans live in 418 counties where they are exposed to unhealthy levels of air pollution.
Air quality alert means that air pollution concentrations within the region may become unhealthy for sensitive groups. Sensitive groups include children, people suffering from asthma, heart disease, or other lung diseases.
Okay, good. Take.
390.
This year's ALA report ranked Denver as a city with some of the worst air quality in the U.S. The city also happens to be home to the only school in the country where students meet with full-time nurses multiple times a day for lung tests and treatments. Founded in the 1970s, Morgridge Academy is a middle school at the National Jewish Health Hospital for kids with respiratory illness, like severe asthma, that prevent them from attending regular schools. Kathy Carney says unlike when she worked in the public school system, as a nurse at Morgridge Academy, she can closely monitor the students' serious respiratory illnesses, preventing asthma attacks before they happen, and recognizing patterns in the students' lung capacity.
And when the air quality is really poor, sometimes you can really tell. Their numbers, we see them drop, and they seem to have a hard, especially our kids with severe asthma. They really seem to be, it affects them most definitely.
Oh, I'm above green.
Seventh grader Amadi has attended Morgridge since kindergarten. And for most of his life, air quality has played a daily role in his safety and schedule, making him an air quality protection supporter.
Yeah, I think that is important. Our life's at risk. Like, in 20 years from my life, if I'm still alive, I wouldn't want my life or my asthma to get better each day. Because if it's getting worse each day, then that's just horrible.
Amadi says, like the overall data in the State of the Air reports, he's getting better. Lindsay Mosley-Alexander directs the ALA's Healthy Air campaign. She says politicians have a responsibility to keep kids like Amadi on the road to respiratory improvement by protecting and enforcing air quality laws.
So implementation of the Federal Clean Air Act is one of the highest priorities when it comes to safeguarding the air that we breathe, because it is a chief public health law designed to reduce pollution and to protect our health. In addition, it's really important that we address climate change, because climate change can make it harder to improve the quality of the air that we breathe. So we strongly support not only the Clean Air Act and implementation of that, but also the Clean Power Plan, which is a Clean Air Act rule to reduce carbon pollution and other pollutants from power plants.
Research shows that since the Clean Air Act went into effect in the 1970s, air pollution has dropped by 70%, while also allowing for economic growth. But in recent months, state and federal lawmakers have made several attempts to defund and scale back laws and agencies protecting air quality. Just last week, the Colorado legislature debated a measure that could have defunded the state air quality division. Ultimately, the cuts were not as deep as what the bill sponsors sought. Colorado is also one of more than a dozen states suing the federal government over new pollution limits set in the Clean Power Plan. And multiple presidential candidates and lawmakers have pledged to defund the EPA, the agency that enforces air quality standards and provides a large portion of the data the ALA and other organizations use to monitor air quality. The ALA's Paul Billings says the fact that air quality protection has become a partisan political issue puts the future of every American's health at risk.
And it's interesting because clean air has always enjoyed broad bipartisan support. With the Clean Air Act, in 1990 when it was last amended, in 1977, 1970 when the act passed, with overwhelming bipartisan support, unanimous support in some cases.
A study by the American Association for the Advancement of Science found that although international policies to improve air quality appear to be dropping levels of pollution in most of the wealthiest countries, air pollution still caused more than 5.5 million premature deaths globally in 2015. In the United States, the National Weather Service reports that air pollution-related illness cost the U.S. economy around $150 billion each year. Hanalee Myers, FSRN, Denver.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Doug and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Rosalyn. And it is again. You're listening to KBOO's Community Radio's vast spring membership drive. I'm going to just give you the number, and that's 877-500-5266. And there are so many reasons to contribute to this station. I mean, you know, sustaining members, the backbone of our financial stability, for just $20 a month, $20 a month, you get a pair of tickets for the Amy Goodman Show, and you help to keep all this great programming on the air, the live interviews, the original reporting. In a few moments, you're going to hear the Jim Hightower commentary that you love, and of course, all this other stuff from Free Speech Radio News, and wow, all that that we bring to you, the volunteers here at the station. And all we ask is your support. Just give us a call at 877-500-5266 and become a member.
Yeah, Mondays are always an amazing day and evening. We've got a different nature, the Freeform Music Show, avant-garde stuff that's coming up later, and radio theater. It's just an amazing evening. Our next thing coming up is Labor Radio. How many news outlets do you know that have a business reporting, a business section, a business program? It's all about the people who are shuffling money around and sending it back across the border and making a gosh darn good living, and maybe they own the building that you live in. But we talk to the people who are actually living in the buildings, building the buildings, making them run, keeping them running. This is Labor Radio. This is a KBOO original programming. It's grassroots. It's down here. It's people who go out, bring guests in, do audio. It's fantastic. You can support that sort of radio by going to kboo.fm, clicking on that button, that Donate Now button in the upper right corner, or by calling toll-free 877-500-KBOO. You can also walk in our door at 20 Southeast 8th and get if you are a member, you know, pick up a copy of the strategic planning survey that's right at the front door. We would like to thank some of our new members, Sarah from Tigard. Thank you for calling in at 877-500-KBOO. Yes, Sarah, join Sarah, become a member. You can go to the Amy Goodman Show. You can get the new Amy Goodman book, Democracy Now! 20 Years, for a $75 pledge of support. It's only $6.25 a month. And then, when Amy's in town on May 8th, you can have her sign it to you. That is a great way to support KBOO, to support great reporting, and to get something cool for yourself. Maybe a Mother's Day gift to give to somebody, maybe a Mother's Day membership. Call now, toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. Now, some more news from... brought to you by Ken, Rosalyn, and all the other volunteers of KBOO.
Thanks, Conch. Thanks, Doug. It's 5:45 right now and time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
No one likes a smart aleck, or a stupid one for that matter. A really stupid one is called ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which masquerades as an educational group that simply assists state officials with policy research. In fact, it is a corporate-financed, far-right-wing political front group that writes and aggressively pushes anti-worker, anti-consumer, anti-environmental, anti-immigrant, anti-public, and other extremist anti-the-people legislative proposals. ALEC's operatives take these cookie-cutter bills from state capital to state capital, getting Republican governors and key legislators to introduce them. Then, Alec helps organize AstroTurf campaigns to ram such ugliness into law. Governor Scott Walker's repressive agenda in Wisconsin is an Alec product. So is Arizona's war on Latinos, as is Florida's murderous stand-your-ground, shoot-'em-up law. However, all of this led Alec to get stupid. Its leaders got to thinking they were bulletproof, that they could shove this stuff down people's throats all across the country and the people would just accept it. Wrong. In fact, stupidly arrogant. Not only have people rebelled, they've also organized and mobilized. Groups like Center for Media and Democracy, Color of Change, Common Cause, Occupy Wall Street, and People for the American Way have rallied grassroots people to hit Alec where it really hurts, its pocketbook. Suddenly, key corporate sponsors were hearing from outraged citizens and customers, and company after company is now withdrawing their sponsorship. Among those recently jumping off the Alec bandwagon are Coca-Cola, Kraft Foods, Mars, McDonald's, PepsiCo, and Wendy's. This is Jim Hightower saying, to connect with these various efforts, go to alecexposed.org. That's A-L-E-C, exposed.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe has acted to restore the voting rights to almost a quarter million Virginians who had formerly been convicted of a felony offense. One out of five people with felony convictions in Virginia are of African American descent and are projected to align themselves with the Democratic Party. Too often in both our distant and recent history, politicians have used their authority to restrict people's ability to participate in our democracy, McAuliffe said in a statement.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Conch and Doug, Doug and Conch, to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Rosalyn. Yes, we are getting very close, getting very, very close to our goal. We are $130 away for the goal.